In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excuse me. Tomorrow, I've been reminded, is Mother's Day, which I actually had forgotten. So I think my mother's gone now, so I can say that. But it's important, and as we grow, our relationship with our mother changes. It's being someone who just feeds us, that we're dependent on, necessarily dependent on, to someone whom we learn from, to someone whom we confide in. And to some, we reach in a good relationship with your mother, you reach a time where you can be quite intimate and share intimate secrets of the heart, receive advice, or at least consolation from your mother. If we do that with the earthly mother, then it's the same with our heavenly one. As we grow, necessarily, she's always there at the beginning. The Church holds Our Lady up as the mediatrix of all graces. This is a title that she's held really from the beginning. It's repeated again in the documents of the Second Vatican Council. It takes nothing away from our Lord, of course, but she is the mediatrix of all graces. She gives us what we need. As I mentioned earlier in the day, she's also the teacher. She was the teacher of the apostles. She certainly, according to tradition, St. Luke would have got a lot of his information from her, because St. Luke, of course, wasn't around so much when Jesus was around, at least from what we understand. So she was a teacher as well, and we learned from her. She's also our confidant. You can imagine that Jesus, we can imagine, I think, fairly easy, that Jesus would have confided many things to Our Lady. Certainly, if we read some of the mystics, some of the approved mystics in particular, obviously, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, Venerable Maria of Agreda, or Agreda, they talk about this mystical understanding between Our Lord and Our Lady. And Our Lady wants us to grow also to have a similar relationship. We remember that everything that we do as Christians, we do it in imitation of Christ. This includes his relationship with his mother. Excuse me. So we have to start somewhere. In our growth, the growing relationship that we have with her, we have to come to know who she is. And just as a child grows in understanding and love of his mother, and so it is with us. How do we do it? Prayer, of course, is the best way to do anything, on your knees. But God has given us other means as well. And it's fitting today here at St. Luke's to point out that primary source of our knowledge of all things of God, sacred scripture. St. Luke, as I mentioned at the beginning of the day, is the gospel author who gives us all five mysteries of the rosary. So if you're praying the mysteries of the rosary and you'd like to meditate from the scriptures, The joyful mysteries, easy, all in a row, right there in the first couple of chapters of St. Luke. Sorry, excuse me. What does he show us? What he does, he continues what Scripture has shown us all along. You know, St. Jerome is quoted as saying that just as there's no page of Scripture where Christ isn't present in some way or other, neither is there any page of Scripture where Our Lady isn't present. Because where there's Christ, there's also Our Lady. We see her prefigured all the way through Scripture. She is the new Eve, as the fathers of the Church would call her. Just as Eve was the collaborator with Adam in the fall of man, so Our Lady is the collaborator with Jesus, the new Adam, in his redemption. And so it goes on all through Scripture, we see these great heroic women, Esther, who had the enemy of her people head, well, he was hung. We have Ruth and Judith. Judith, who had, I don't know, I always get the two mixed up. Judith is the one who cut the head off Holofernes, right? Who I'm definitely pronouncing his name incorrectly. Abigail, and the other one. Who's the one that put the tent peg through the head? Is that Abigail? That's the one. Thank you. With the theologian at the back for the camera, you didn't hear what she said. It's all right. Our Lady is the one, as is prophesied in Genesis 3:15, the first book of the Bible, who crushed the head of the serpent. We see in most of her images, trying to see, except these two, certainly Our Lady of Grace, there's always the serpent at her feet being crushed, just as these women prefigured Our Lady crushing, literally at some points, especially putting the tent peg through the head, crushing the head of the enemy. And so St. Luke continues to teach us about her. At the Annunciation, you could meditate on the Annunciation with the help of grace and possibly some good scripture commentaries. You could meditate on the Annunciation for the rest of your life and for all eternity in heaven and still not exhaust its mysteries. The moment when God chooses a human mother. That should make us open our mouths in awe, or at least do something in awe. God decided to take on a human nature. God, who is infinite and eternal, in need of nothing, certainly doesn't need us in the proper sense of the word. He doesn't even need our love. He loves himself perfectly, not in that self-conceited love that we're prone to, but in a perfect love. He doesn't need that, and yet he found a dwelling place among us in which he can take, from which he took his flesh. Who must this woman be that God, all loving, all perfect, in need of nothing, chose to need this woman? He chose to need, God doesn't need anything, you know that. But in order to have his body, he chose this woman to take his flesh from. And hence, we have this term, rightly said, the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the mother of God. She didn't create the divine nature of God, but she certainly gave him his body and gave birth to the full person who is divine. Hopefully I haven't lost you at this point. It's not too tough. What a woman she must be. And really, woe to the person that dare say, oh, she was just the vessel that God used. What are you saying about God? She is his mother. Would you say that about your own mother? Would you say that about anyone else's mother? My goodness. How dare we say that about the mother of Jesus Christ, the mother of God? And this is the woman who is your mother also. At the foot of the cross, John stood for each one of us. There are those, rightly, who interpret it in a very special way for priests. He stood there. But for all of us, this is your mother. It wasn't a last minute thing that Jesus, just before I die, I forgot to take care of my mother. Clearly, it's not that. This is your mother. The mother whom I chose from all eternity to dwell in, to take my flesh from. The mother whom I, by a special grace, preserved from all sin. Perfect. And I'm sure you've heard the story of the Carmelite that Scott Hahn ran into once, who said, if you could do whatever you could for your mother, and you could preserve her from all pain and suffering, and if you could preserve her from sin itself, you would do it, but you can't, but God could, and he did. Blessed John Duns Scotus, the Franciscan who came up, who discovered the secret, if you will, of the Immaculate Conception, for lack of a better way of putting it, is exactly what he said. Our Lady is the perfectly redeemed one. Jesus Christ is the perfect redeemer. And therefore, there had to be a perfect redemption, and that is to be found in Our Lady. in a sense that not only is she saved from sin, but the most perfect redemption is to be preserved from sin. I'm going all over the place at the moment. This was supposed to be a talk on Our Lady in the Gospel of St. Luke. I'm all over the place, but that's okay. Because what it's really supposed to be about is understanding, who is this woman? Who is your mother? And why don't we, if we really knew who she was, we'd be spending a lot more time with her. You know, as we get older, we try to spend time with our parents, I hope, and as much as it's possible. And sometimes that can be challenging and trying. We all know, we get to a certain age, maybe young men, we don't want our mothers mothering us anymore. But we need to let them, because we're still their little boy, no matter how old or bald we are. But Our Lady is never unpleasant to be around. Never. She's the perfect mother. She knows when to back off, and she knows when to step in. But we need to come to know who she truly is. She is perfect. Perfect. We are all looking for perfection, whether you really believe that or not. All of us want it. A lot of us, you know, we know we're not going to find it. Not in this world. But we will find it in her. And this perfect being, you're in luck, is your mum. You know, a lot of you have come here, have heard me talk about my mum a lot, and when she's not here, I can talk about her more. I know that if I go to my parents' house, and the Friars and anyone who's been to my parents' house will know this, if I ever go there, there will be nothing wanting, at least physically, materially. There'll be food on the table. Myself and brother Cyprian went there just the other day, just dropped in. And I don't know, was it 10 minutes? Within 10 minutes, there was a meatball and egg sandwich just made, hot, and a table full of other condiments and salads. And how did you even do that? I didn't even see you move. Oh, are you tired? Go and take a rest. There's beds already ready. There's towels on there, new clothes if you want. Where does all this come from? If this is what a human mother can do, I'm sure my mother's not a saint, but you know, you can remember these stories at a canonization process. How much more will Our Lady do? Because she can do more. And just as a good son, which I don't necessarily profess to be, but as a good son always wants to please his mother, so it is with Christ. So when your mother asks something, your mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, asks something of Christ for you, do you think he's going to say no? Of course not. So what is our role? What must we do, therefore? Well, you already know. Commandment number 4, honor your mother and father. Above all, honor this mother. Try to be a good child. Speak to her. Follow her instructions. What have been her instructions? From the very beginning, the wedding feast of Cana, which is not in the Gospel of Luke, it's in the Gospel of John. The wedding feast of Cana, do whatever he tells you. That is what she's asking of us. At Fatima, at Lourdes, pray, do penance, pray the rosary. This is how we honor her, and this is what it makes, how it makes it easier for her to help us, so to speak, easier. So this Mother's Day, tomorrow, don't forget this mother over here. Don't forget your earthly mothers, that's important, like I almost have. But don't forget this one above all. Put your mother in this mother's hands. Let her take care of your family when you can't. Let her pick up the slack when you can't do the things that you know that you should do or need to do or would like to do. Because anything that she asks from Christ, he will give. We heard in the Gospel this morning, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, Jesus says, I will give to you. I will do for you. And we can add, and is the teaching of the Church, Our Lady could say the same thing, whatever you ask my Son in my name, or better still, let me ask him for you, he will also do for you. Maybe in this month of May, therefore, as we really should remember, it is, it is Our Lady's month. The Church sets 2 months aside in honor of Our Lady, May and October. October in particular for the Rosary. Let's do something special, not just on Mother's Day, therefore, for Our Lady, but in a very special way during May and every single day. You know, a good son would often ring his mum at least every day. No pressure on all you sons out there, especially if your mother's listening to this as well. But he'll at least regularly take care of his mum and look to her. You don't even have to lift the phone to talk to Our Lady. Sometimes it's just a glance, a smile towards heaven, anything, a thought directed in her attention, in her direction rather. Because she's there waiting. You know, like take this analogy, it's not an analogy, it's a reality. A new mother with a baby watching carefully his actions or her actions. And what joy it brings when the child looks up at the mother in her eyes and smiles. It brings great joy to the mother and to the father too. So it is with Our Lady. Sometimes it's not all the words, but it's the closeness and our desire to be with her. Let us pray therefore to her, and even to Saint Joseph, of course, who knew her very well, how that we might love her. How that we might love her, you know what I mean. Let's pray to her son that we may love her as he did, that we might imitate Jesus in loving Mary, that we might be other Jesuses to Mary, other children for her that she might rejoice in. And if we are struggling in any particular part of life, in the spiritual or other aspects of life, let us never be afraid to go to the mother. Whatever it is we need, she will provide it. We can be absolutely certain of this. Therefore, profit from, take advantage of this month of May. The Church doesn't propose these months for any reason except that they are full of graces for you. Just as Lent and Advent are special liturgical seasons of a different nature, obviously, May, the Church says, this is the month of Mary. Go to her now if you want extra special graces. Now is the time, if your devotion to her, if your love of her, if your knowledge of her has been lacking, now is the time especially to fix that. She is your mum. She wants what is best for you. And just as any good mother, she would give up everything for you. And she did. Because she gave up her own life in a real sense and the life of her own son for love of you. There is nothing she won't do. Let us go to her, therefore, with full confidence and open heart that we might become true images of her son here on earth.